Beloved congregation, I ask your attention this morning for the 19th Lord's Day, question 51. The Lord's Day 19. What profit is this glory of Christ, our head, unto us? First, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members. And then, that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. This far. The last time we have heard that Christ is taken up in heaven and that he dares appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Now this morning, we have another subject, and that is to inform about the prophet of the glory of Christ, our head, being now in heaven. The 50th question that refers, of course, especially to the glory of Christ in his human nature, where he had received the reward of his mediatorial work. Now, we have to consider this morning that great salvation that he applied from heaven in the hearts of all his people. We will read that answer with you this morning from word to word. It said first about the prophet that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members. Thus, first I will emphasize his members. Is now the meaning that there is nothing else in the world outside of the members of Christ? Of course, you know, we believe in predestination. And predestination that refers to the eternal state of men, of rational creatures. And amongst rational creatures that are not only men, but that are also angels. Therefore you read in the Bible in some places about the elect angels, as you also read of the fallen angels. There is a een election en er is een rejection. Een election en een rejection. Nou, het speaks hier about heavenly graces. Heavenly graces. Of course, now the question that comes up, is there in the world, amongst the people, nothing else than heavenly graces? Of course, there are various gifts given by the Holy Spirit, distributed even to the reprobates. There are natural gifts. You think about science and art. That are all natural gifts, limited to this temporal life. We can also speak about common convictions. Every person in the world, more or less, but the Lord makes himself free from them. The Lord is free from everybody by virtue of our creation. But the Lord, he made himself free by his word and testimony. Also, by and in the conscience of men. That is the reason why that also the heathens and those that never have heard anything of the Bible, that the Lord righteously shall condemn them on account of creation and on account of their conscience. If you desire to know more about it, then I advise you to read Romans 2. There you find the ground on which that the Lord condemned the heathens who had lived and died without any knowledge of the truth. But of course, in our catechism this morning, it emphasized, and the emphasis lays upon the heavenly graces. There are, of course, extraordinary gifts given in the church. In the Old Testament, there were prophets, priests, and kings. Now, in the New Testament, we have evangelists, missionaries, and we will have also the common servants of the Lord. And in the day of Pentecost, then the people, the disciples especially, they receive not only the Holy Spirit, but also with that Holy Spirit, so many different gifts. They talk in different languages. They heal the sick. It goes so far, you read of course about Peter, that there was some persons who saw even the shadow of that man, and that they were healed. Maybe there's people in my midst that have always thought why that the Lord had given that at that time and not in our days. There is, of course, a reason for. In the days of Pentecost, then the Lord, he organized or established the church of the New Testament. The days of the old dispensation were past, and now it was another dispensation. And now the Lord gives so much gifts, so much power, and so many evidences of his favor towards his church that the world must be astonished, that the devil must be ashamed. And that was, well, the reason, the greatest reason, why that in those days that happened so many miracles. What were miracles? What never was heard in the world? You think about those disciples, unlearned people. They have not one diploma in their pocket. Not one. In the days of Elijah, there were schools for the prophets, but you read not about it so much in those days, and then especially in regard to the common people there in Galilee. Jerusalem was something different. But the place where the disciples came from, maybe they have never seen a school in their whole life. And they start to preach there in all the different languages, more than 15. You can say nothing else than, this is from the Lord. And you have not to think that while they were talking, that the people could criticize what they were saying. You can do that with me, enough. I know. But not with the disciples, no. Because they have talked there perfect. But that was for that time. In the days of the Reformation, with Luther and Calvin and Bulwer and Bisa, then that the Lord had given that people also special gifts, but you do not find in the days in which we are living, no. And still in our days, we have to be astonished about the gift that the Lord had given in those days to those reformers. Such a clearness in the depths and in the mysteries of the Word of God. But of course, our catechism this morning, that speaks not about common gifts, natural gifts, extraordinary gifts, but the emphasis that lays entirely this morning upon heavenly graces. Heavenly graces. Thus, I would say two things this morning to you to explain that. All what is given to the members of Christ, and that are the believers, the true believers, all that they receive, in the first place, that come from heaven, and that returns to heaven. Our children can well follow that too. The Catechism speaks about heavenly graces. And those heavenly graces, they are coming from heaven. And in the second place, they are leading us up to heaven and bring us back to heaven. Heavenly graces, I repeat that. In the first place, the Holy Spirit is sent in the midst of the congregation and in the hearts of God's people as a person in the days of the New Testament, and especially in the day of Pentecost. Christ had told his disciples in John 16, verse 7, "It is expediently that I go away, because otherwise the comfort cannot come to you." Thus, the necessity was there that Christ was taken up in heaven. That he, in other words, that he appears there before his Father, and that he show his Father his mediatorial work. In the Bible it said that he appeared with his blood, but his blood that refers, of course, to his mediatorial work, what he had wrought, what he had done. And now as soon as Christ appeared before his Father, with his vicarious work, then 10 days later, then the Father sent the Holy Spirit down from heaven in the midst and in the hearts of his people. And what is now the meaning? You find the explanation of that in John 16, because there it speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit here on earth. And then Christ said that that Spirit shall convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, but then follows in verse 14, "And that Spirit shall glorify me," shall glorify, in other words, Christ. And now Christ have to be glorified, congregation, in our heart. There is many people that have religion in their head. In their head. They can talk about the way of salvation, They can talk about regeneration, justification and sanctification, but all out of their head. And if we now die with that in our head, then it is lost forever. Because it has to come in our heart, people. In our heart. And if it is given in our heart, then it stays there. And it remains there. It can never be taken away from us. What is in our head that can be taken away? That can be taken away. By visiting hospitals and home for old age, time and again, we see so many people out of their minds. They don't know you sometimes. You can see it on their faces, in what a condition that they are. There is people that lost their whole mind. Their whole mind. This you can realize, congregation, if our religion is in our head, then it is a poor business. Very poor. But if it is in our heart, the heavenly graces, we never can lose that, no. Hellenbroek, I told you that before maybe, but Hellenbroek, yeah, if you see all what that man had done in his life, so many books and sermons, volumes, he lost his mind too. 3 years he was sitting there as a child, playing with toys. But once, when two ministers visited him, and that they looked to one another and that they say, "That's too bad. That is too bad. Such a man." But then he received for a moment his mind back. He said to those two ministers, "Is it not good what Father is doing?" And I have heard, when I was still a student, when I visit with another student that was the same time with me, Heikoop, when we visit an old man, he was sitting there ook as a child, no knowledge. But when he came in that house in that morning, oh, then his face that changed immediately. And then he lifted up his hands. He said, "One plant with Christ in the conformity of his death, we shall be in the conformity of his resurrection." When it is in our heart, people. When it is in our heart, and that is now the main thing, I shall not say, people, that head knowledge is wrong. historical knowledge is not wrong, but it is not sufficient. It is not enough. But to have something here that the Lord has wrought in our heart, and even that it is so small as a mustard seed, then it shall endure forever and forever. Heavenly graces, it comes from heaven. And the Holy Spirit, He glorified Christ in the hearts of His children. He regenerates them, because we are all by nature people dead in trespasses and sin. And we are all going the wrong way. All of us, the wrong way. But the Lord stops them. The Lord leads them in the way everlasting by His irresistible power. A willing people, in the day of His power. And then the Lord open our eyes, people, for what is lacking, for what is missing in our heart and in our soul. And that is the reason that the Lord leads His people with praying and with supplication, looking unto Him day and night, if it is right, if it is true, people, then our eyes shall be continually upon the Lord. Why? Because we know inside, even, that we have no courage to talk about it. That happens too. But we believe inside that the God of heaven and of earth, that He is the only one that can help me, that can save me, that can restore me, that can grant unto me what is missing for time and for eternity. And now they are bound to the throne of grace for those heavenly gifts, people. For those heavenly graces that the Lord open our eyes, that the Lord give us that grace to come to an end with ourselves, that it become an hopeless case, but as soon in our life that it becomes hopeless, oh, then the Lord is there. With invitation of the gospel. And then He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we are done with the law, then the gospel that come in the front. And the law that is nothing as condemnation, but the gospel that is joy, and that is gladness, and that is peace by the Holy Spirit. And when the gospel now is opened, then the people that is glad, then they say it is possible. And if it is possible for me, then it is possible for everybody. But of course the Spirit leads that people farther and farther. The Spirit grant no rest to that people until that they find rest in the Lord. And that is through the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. and blessing to know Christ in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation, to know him in his names, in his offices, in his states, and in his benefits, but now the necessity that we become one with him, that we receive him as our portion for time and for eternity. And is there more than the forgiveness of sins and a right to eternal life? Yes, people, there is more, and that more, that is the adoption of children, that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we are restored in that communion and in that fellowship with the Lord for our heart and for our soul, and then privileged. But we sing now out of 228, the last stanza, a sun and shield, forever is God the Lord Most High. And what follows, 228, the last stanza. Now the catechism said first that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members. He pours out, that is also something to consider. In the days of the Old Testament was the Spirit well there, but it was not as a rain that he came down, but by drops he came down. And of course, I would say we have in English the word persimmonos, that means it was not in such an abundant way that the Lord gave that Spirit in those days of old. Parsimnius. And now in the days of the New Testament is it so much different with God's people. He pours out as in rain. That was, of course, that was also prophesied in Isaiah 44, where it said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. The same promise you find that by the prophet Joel in the second chapter. And in the New Testament, it was confirmed in the midst of the church. But now there is no something else in the question, in that answer, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. The world have no enemies, but God's people that have enemies. And those enemies are many. that are three enemies especially, and they are united one with the others. And if you will find that Rita's days with your children, then I have not to read out the Bible, Psalm 83. And there you have a multitude of enemies, all one against the church, because all the enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, that is nothing else than seeking the destruction of the church and the destruction of God's people. Peter wrote about the devil that he is a roaring lion that goes out seeking to devour. And congregation, it is too bad in our life that we, in general, that we think so lightly about our enemies. And it is so necessary, time and again, people, that the Lord allow those enemies in our life to come and to fight with us. Otherwise, we do the same as those virgins, the wise virgins, who were sleeping with the foolish virgins. And the Lord do not desire that we sleep, but the Lord is well desiring to awake, and that we all the time be careful, that we all the time thinking from this side or from that side. It is always lurking round about us to bring us in a pit where we never can bring out ourselves, people. Therefore, it is not an easy life, no. It is not an easy life at all. But therefore it is so necessary that the Lord take care that we know what our enemies are, and that we know what a power that those enemies have in our life. You see it in the Word of God. You think about Samson, that was a Nazarene of the Lord, and more than that, he was a type of Christ, a type of Christ. And if you think what that man had executed in the first time of his life, then you all have to say, wonderful, wonderful. But that man was so weak. Twice he fell in a snare in his life, twice. And the last was the worst, with that Delilah. And it came so far that he told that woman in which that his strength consists. And when the Philistines had bound him, when they came, otherwise then he lose himself. And he walked away. But this time his hair was cut off. And then they pulled out his eyes. And now the result was, people, finally in that prison, he received well his hair that started to grow, but not his eyes. They were out. They were out. But the last day of his life, then he saw the king in his beauty, inwardly. But what a life, congregation. What a life. We hope to hear no more of that today, in this afternoon and evening. I hope to see again, of course, when we talk about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a temptations in which Christ came. But also the disciples of Christ. Also the disciples. And they were trusting upon their own strength. They did not realize how strong that the devil was. And the world and their own flesh. Our own flesh, congregation, that is the greatest betrayer inside in our hearts. And that flesh that shall never be submissive under the law of God and under the will of God. Let me never think, congregation, that we are boss over ourselves. Let me never think about it. No. From moment to moment, we have to confess with Jehoshaphat, in us there is no strength against that great multitude. I have to say something. There is maybe some in my midst. The Lord knows it. That have awful strife. There is maybe people sitting here that have no rest day and night. If it is the right strife, happy, blessed you are. Blessed. Really? Why? The devil can make it hard in our life. Awful hard. He can run after us. By day and by night. Job, in his distress and in his suffering, he had asked and he had hoped that he could sleep sometime in the night. But then he talks about all kind of dreams that made him afraid, that brought him in a straight way. But I tell you, who have much strife, I tell you that is better than the least lustless, because lustless, that is awful, that we have no desire in nothing. And that we live and that we live and that we live. But the devil is always used for God's people to drive him as a dog to the shepherd. To the Lord. It was for Peter so necessary when he was walking on the water that he sink. Oh, that was so necessary. Why? If now the Lord has permitted that people, that Peter, that he could walk to Christ, hey, and shake hands with Christ, oh, I think his whole life he was boasting upon that. That's our nature, of course. But now sinking. Luther, he make a statement. He said, God's people, the Lord, let them sing sometime. But their people take care that they never drown. That they never drown. And now we have to learn in our life congregation that we cannot preserve ourselves and that we cannot defend ourselves, that we cannot protect ourselves, but it is only Christ that by his power. And why by his power? Because that is an almighty power. And that is in the second place in boys, girls, that is an unlimited power. Christ as mediator and as king of the church, then he said, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And now the whole thing is this, people. God's intention that is that we need Christ in our life and that we need Christ more and more in our life and that we extol Christ in the highest heavens, that he receive the highest place in our heart. And there is one privilege for God's children. They have not to win the battle. No. The Lord, we need well that the Lord give us courage to fight against our enemies. That is something what the Lord have to give us. But we have not to fight to win the battle. No. That is done on Calvary's cross. That is done on Calvary's cross. But the victory that is at the side of the Lord and that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Against all enemies. He only can do it. And he only shall do it. That is guaranteed by him sitting at the right hand of his Father. And that is now for the church in general, for the visible church here on earth, but that is also for the invisible church, that is also for God's children here in this world. Therefore, fear not, O worm of Jacob, and people of Israel, I have delivered you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And the Lord, he takes care for them. And he takes care for them till the end of their life and till the end of the world. There is so much fear and trembling many times. And what that devil can cast in your heart, people, by day and by night, I will not write it on the wall there. No. I will not write it on the wall. But God's people knows. To withdraw from the Lord, to mistrust the Lord, and to fall in the snares of unbelief, and to dishonor the Lord, because unbelief that is a dishonoring of the Lord. And how Christ, by his Spirit, he had wrought faith in the heart in his generation, and he said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith never fails. And he is doing that day and night all the time, even when we sleep and even when we have no thoughts about it, because such times there are also many in our life. But now that Christ, he take care for everything. And now if you think about the prophet, that Christ now is sitting at the right hand of his Father to pour out the heavenly graces in the heart of the people, and to protect and to preserve and to defend them. Oh, what must be? But must we pray the Lord and ask and beg him that he became our mediator and savior for time and for eternity? And for that cause and reason, the gospel is preached also in this Sabbath day, people. Oh, to open our blind eyes, that we realize what there is lacking, what there is missing in our life, people. And what we need shall be well for time and for eternity. Oh, that the God of all grace, that he may impress the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and as we have heard this morning again, that it have to become a personal matter. This congregation, young and old, we have to receive nothing here from this world, but what we must receive, that is heavenly graces out of heaven. And if we receive it from heaven, then of course, congregation, then it shall lead us up to heaven. That it made us heavenly minded. Heavenly minded, that means also that by day and by night that our supplication go up to the throne of grace. And the Lord is still alive, he can comfort us. He had all the power to that in his hand. Oh, there is nothing too wonderful for him. May the Lord bless his word to the salvation of many souls amongst us. And at the other end, Christ is in heaven to pour out the heavenly graces and to preserve his church, that it may please the Lord to empty the hearts of his people. Because we have to be emptied all the time, shall the fullness of Christ have a value for our soul. And we have also to learn how unable and powerless that we are in ourselves. No strength at all, but then he's singing for 21, I think, blessed is the man hoe streng het is in die en in whose hart are the ways of the Lord. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony, that there was food for the hungry and drink for the thirsty and righteousness for the guilty. Forgive all the shortcomings. Bring us back in this afternoon and evening on the reading and preaching. Give desire in our heart and apply it to our heart. The time is short. Remember all the needs and all the wants, also for our children, in catechizing and instructing. Oh Lord, have mercy with our generation to the honor of thy name and to the salvation of the soul. Be with us further and strengthen and sustain and prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, supplying the needs also in the different families. For Christ's sake only, amen. 354. Like Zion's steadfast mountain are they who in the Lord confined, secure, immovable, they stand forever to abide. Number 354. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.